This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Finally had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, well, what do I describe your outfit as today? It's a little safari-ish.
Olive.
Mr. Steve Sell.
Olive shirt with my olive skin.
How's that hamstring feeling?
Hamstring?
Yeah, the hammy.
Hammy's fine.
You had a busy weekend.
Yeah, I got a bad middle finger, though. I've bruised my middle finger.
You've been driving around town flipping that bird out the window all weekend?
I feel like I've, you know, bruised my middle finger somehow.
What'd you do?
Just hitting the golf ball.
That's not a good sign if you're jamming your middle finger while swinging.
54 holes in 2 days. That's a little much for me.
That will take it out of you a little bit. But a good golf weekend for you.
Well.
Good golf weekend for us.
Yeah.
We had a pretty good scramble round in the high school football golf tournament.
We did.
We did our best.
High school did a great job.
Yeah.
High school football coaches.
There were a ton of teams out there.
Yeah. I think they had 22 or 23 teams, something like that. Almost 100 players. You know, they had a lot of prizes. Everybody left feeling good.
We all felt good.
Some of us left with money in our pocket. Some of us left with prizes, you know. So pretty good.
We left with $10 in our pocket.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
What about...
That's $10 we didn't have at the start of the day.
What about your shoulder? How's your shoulder feeling from throwing that football?
Oh, man. That was a big mistake.
You shouldn't have done that.
Took me a couple holes to recover.
You shouldn't have done that.
No, I'm glad I was never asked to throw out the first pitch at the Pipeliners game this year. I would have had to move up to like 30 feet so I could throw a fastball.
They, at the first hole, which for us was about the 12th hole, you could pay a couple of dollars to throw the football through a hoop, which was, you know, like a ring. And if you threw it through there, then you got to tee up further. And I threw a couple, and I was banging it off the ring. I was close. You know, junior high quarterback.
Yeah.
And then we said, all right, Steve, you got to go throw one. And I'll give him some credit.
Threw like a girl.
It is not an easy throw.
Especially
you're up on top of a hill.
Yeah, you're throwing downhill for one thing.
It was not an easy throw. But yeah, Steve, you kind of threw it like a girl.
I threw it like a girl. I did not show the arm.
At least you didn't step with like the wrong foot.
I didn't throw with the arm that made me a gold glove third baseman for Kiwanis of the Little League.
Do you remember that commercial that came out a few years ago? I think it ran during the Super Bowl for the first time, and it might have been a Volkswagen commercial where the kid or the dad is playing catch with the little kid. And he's going, all right, son, keep that arm up there and get ready. Cock it back and throw it. Just hit me right in the mitt. You know, step through it, throw it. He's trying to give him instructions. And then the dad then tries to throw it back to him and, like, steps with the wrong foot and flips it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what it looked like watching Steve throw the football.
If I'd been level, I think I'd done better. I was throwing downhill. Downhill threw me off a little bit.
You mentioned throwing out the first pitch. Have you ever done that before at a game?
No.
I did it one time at a Florida Collegiate Summer League game, and I wasn't really expecting to do it. And I didn't want to get up on the mound because it was like right before first pitch.
Yeah.
The team ran out there, and then I ran out there. And so the pitcher's standing there next to me, and I'm not going to get up on top of the mound and dig in there in the dirt where the pitcher's going to be. So I threw it from the front of the mound, and I threw a laser. An absolute laser.
Well,
Now, remember, I played college baseball, so if I can't throw strikes, it's probably a problem.
Well, my elbow is a tad sore this morning because I think I tried to throw it too hard was the problem.
Well, you didn't throw it very hard. So no, I didn't. You tried, but you didn't.
Yeah, duck snorted it.
But we had a pretty good weekend. Yeah. Pretty good morning out there on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Had a little coach's barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Coach Monty.
Coach Monty and Coach Harlan. They were out there grilling it all day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. They made it special for us. I know Steve didn't have any barbecue.
I went home and took a nap.
Steve doesn't like barbecue to begin with.
I had to turn around and play in the afternoon, so I went home and got a nap for about 45 minutes.
Are you going to tell the people what I did on hole number two? Because I don't want to brag about it. Well, I already I already said it
this morning, but for those that didn't hear it, Jim stepped up on number two. It was 124 yards. I don't know if I hit a pitching wedge.
I hit the pitching wedge.
Well, I hit the bunt nine, but Jim hits it to about a foot and a half. Wins the prize, closes the pin. I think it was, four rounds at Turkey Creek?
Yeah, I think I got a couple of guest passes.
Couple guest passes at Turkey Creek. I'd still negotiate. I'd negotiate for some golf balls, maybe.
That's a pretty good shot, wasn't
it? Actually, you know, four passes at Turkey Creek, that's about $100 value.
That's pretty good, and I'm already a member. And plus, what do we get, four guest passes anyway?
Yeah.
These ones come with a cart.
Oh, there you go.
So for me,
big time. Maybe some of your guys from Kansas City can come down.
We could lure them in.
But anyway.
Our guy Quinn Ruxlow said I barely beat him on that par three.
What, Quinn go up and just place the ball by the hole?
He might have done something like that.
Yeah,
or he might have said it was Tregg that did it, and then it put Quinn's name down.
Well, that might have been what it was. That sounds a lot more reasonable than Quinn hitting a shot.
I don't know. I think anyone had a good
anyone
day.
That's seen the mighty Quinn play golf, it's not great. I'll just say that. But, you know,
he's a big listener of the show.
He
Steve.
Is a big listener of the show,
and he's going to be crushed by this.
He's going to be he's a Cardinal guy, so he's a good guy.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, we can continue to talk about our amateur golf weekend, but the real show, we let the pros take a little more of the spotlight on Saturday and Sunday. What a fun weekend at the Open Championship! I mean, that was must-watch TV. And I was reading up on some of the numbers for the ratings that NBC has done in terms of the overnight, and they are off the charts. And you know why?
Tiger.
The man in red.
I guarantee if Tiger's not in the hunt, those numbers are half. They probably are. Because Tiger was in the hunt. Now everyone's thinking, well, he's going to win a major soon. He's got to be able to finish. And he got a little wayward on the back nine, started hitting into the gorse, I guess they call it, the wispy gorse.
He hit a fan.
Yeah, he had a fan. Gave the fan a glove, I think, didn't he?
I'd take a glove. I'd take a 9-iron from Tiger Woods so I could get a glove.
I'd take a Oh, I. And
what about a stinger?
You're talking about a guy that's been skulled though, so by a golf ball. In his career. So, you might say you'll take one for it, but don't let it hit you. There's friend of the show, Don Newton, made a hole in one today.
Don.
All
what
day,
hole?
Don. Number
Which
two.
Hole?
Number two, he made a hole-in-one.
Wow.
Tregg Fall just sent me the text. He feathered a hybrid in there and made a hole-in-one. First ace for Don. So
he's going to go play again in the afternoon, so he's got a chance to make it
2-1 day. They call him all day Don because Don is out there all day. He's the marshal. We call him the marshal. He's got a little marshal's flag on his cart, so Don is the man. He plays more golf than anybody at Turkey Creek.
I don't doubt it. Well, back to the Open, Steve. I made a comment yesterday on the Twitter, and I think this holds up pretty true. If Tiger Woods had found a way to win yesterday, I mean, he was leading.
Yeah.
He was not the co-leader. He was not just one shy of the lead. Tiger Woods was the sole leader when he was on the 11th hole.
For all about 5 minutes.
And if he had won, there is a serious debate that might have been the sports story of the year.
Yeah.
Because he has not won a major in a decade. And I was reading off some stats that people were talking about, that George Bush was president the last time that Tiger won a major.
Yeah.
And it feels like it was such a long time ago, and everything that's happened in between, whether it was the personal life stuff or whether it was just him being hurt.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people, and I'm included in this, saying that Tiger Woods will never win another major.
I'll be honest,
I never even thought he would get close.
Now,
he was close, But really, he kind of lost it away at the end. If he would have won yesterday, in the way that that round went, in the way that he played this past weekend,
every round under par,
that might have been the sports story of the year.
Yeah.
If he had found a way. Now he didn't, and we still haven't mentioned the guy that actually won it, Francesco Molinari.
Where did your pick finish?
Dustin Johnson?
No.
Jordan Spieth?
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth was tied for ninth.
Where'd my pick finish?
Who was your pick?
Justin Rose.
Oh, he might have been tied for second.
Yeah.
In another, Steve and I did a pool for picking the Open winners. In one of my pools, I had Jordan Spieth and Francesco Molinari, and I was going, hey, I'm looking okay. Except for Emiliano Grillo shot 11 over yesterday.
Knocked you out.
Really knocked me out.
And, you know, in our pool that you and I were in, Brad Bingston was the winner. So, you know, Brad's going to be walking around with a little extra cash in his pocket. But I was cruising. After three rounds, I was the man. And my four guys on Sunday went 74, 74, 74, 73. I went from 23 under to 12 under.
Ugh.
And 18, Brad had 18. So Brad had Tiger. He had Cooch. He had Rose and Ryan Moore. And they were anywhere from 3 to, you know, 6 under. He just had a real solid team.
That was a very fun weekend of golf. And so far this year, 3 out of 3 majors have been very entertaining. The Masters, I feel like I watched every
and
hole.
And it's 3
of the
guys going into the tournament. Did you really expect Patrick Reed to win the Masters?
Not really. I know people talked about it before.
Webb Simpson, the U.S. Open.
Yeah, nobody was expecting that.
No one took him in our pot. I don't think
Brooks Koepka won.
Or Brooks Koepka. What did Webb Simpson? Webb Simpson won the Masters, though.
No, Patrick Reed won the Masters.
Okay, what did Webb Simpson win?
The Webb.com
tour. Oh, the Players. He won the Players.
Okay.
Which is like a major.
But so far, here we sit, just finished the third major. This has been just captivating golf. And there was a worry for a decent amount of time right after Tiger. You can imagine like that 2009 to 2013 range. Do you remember who won the 2012 U.S. Open?
No.
That wasn't a time of golf that people were just so invested.
But everybody remembers who won the 2008 U.S. Open.
Yeah. Everybody knows where they were watching that U.S. Open.
Pebble Beach, wasn't it? I think it was Pebble Beach.
That or Torrey Pines, one of the two.
Yeah, well, yeah, it may have been Torrey Pines.
Golf needs Tiger Woods. They don't necessarily need Tiger Woods, but they need good golf and competitive.
Right.
And they need 6 people tied for the lead going into the final 9 holes.
They don't need Tiger to be chopping it.
It helps them when Tiger's playing well.
Yeah.
Were you at the golf course while the tournament was being played yesterday?
Yes.
Or were you done in the morning?
No. I watched the replay yesterday.
I was at the golf course yesterday while everything was developing and while this thing was finishing up. And every single person that I saw was talking about it.
Yeah, what's Tiger doing?
Where's Tiger at? Ooh, what are the leaders doing? Ooh, where's Jordan Spieth?
We're playing a tournament in Salina, and we're just finishing number 4, and Coach Kinnaman's in the group ahead of me. So Tiger's in the lead.
Oh.
And then about 20 minutes later, he's out of it. I mean, that's all there was to it. He was done.
Golf has had a very good 3 years.
Yeah.
Where the majors have been really good, and part of that has been there's this great core of youth or young players that are fun to watch. And you kind of never know who's going to win, but you know it's usually going to come from this group
of
10.
Tiger used to be the only guy that could just mash at 10 miles. Now everybody mashes at 10 miles. Tiger's just, distance-wise, he's just another guy. He's just, you know, he's right there, you know, top 20.
I mean, you even look at somebody like Tony Finau, who is somewhat unknown by people, but he has been extremely good in all the majors this year, he's sort of turning into a household name.
And look at Molinari. His last 5 tournaments,
he's been good.
He's been like in the top 5 the last 5 tournaments he's played in.
You've got the Jordan Spieth. You've got the Rory McIlroys. You've got Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler is one of my favorite guys to watch play. You got Dustin Johnson.
You got Phil still flubbing around.
You got Justin Thomas. Okay, what was up with Phil's shirt? Did you see his shirt?
Coach Kinnaman was very upset by that.
What was that?
He needs a fashion coordinator.
He's wearing a button-up shirt.
A white button-down shirt.
With no undershirt underneath.
Yeah.
Phil.
It was a bad look.
Phil, I'm not a fashion expert.
Unless Amy's telling him to wear that, I don't know why he would be. He's got to be getting paid a lot of money to wear that clown suit.
Steve and I are no fashion experts.
No.
Steve and I wear a lot of the same clothes every week. But I guarantee you, I'm not going to wear a button-up collared shirt on the golf course.
That was a bad look.
And it wasn't a good-looking shirt either.
And, of course, he had that cheesy grin and thumbs up on everybody. So Phil's just kind of...
Lefty.
He's starting to become comic relief. I mean... You know, he's really not in contention anymore. You know, he'll hang around for a little. He ended up, I think, one under, maybe, or even. Is that what he ended up? Something like that.
I don't think I have him on my sheet here in front of me, so that's not a good sign.
Well, he shot even yesterday. I think he was even for the
tour. There he is. One under.
One
tied
under.
Tied for 24.
Well, you know, he's still in the top 25, but he does so many ridiculous things, and then he gets penalties for dumb things, like tamping down the grass and hitting a moving ball and... You know, you should get penalized 2 strokes for that shirt, you know.
That was not a good
shirt. That was a bad look.
Well, and especially because golf is sort of a fashionable sport right now. You've got your Ricky Fowlers that are doing some different things.
Yeah.
Even Justin Thomas sometimes will look a little goofy because he's wearing the polo stuff.
And then pastels.
Yeah. There are some. You can wear some goofy things out there.
He looks like some guy from Arkansas that's visiting New York.
Hey, easy.
You know?
Easy. Watch that.
That's a Seinfeld episode.
All right, Steve. Fun weekend of golf. We enjoyed our time playing. I enjoyed my time watching almost as much as I did playing.
Yeah.
Let's take our first break, and we've got a subject that I know that you will be very interested in talking about next, and that is the most recent Netflix show.
I just started watching some of it today.
That is starting to take over the world.
Yeah.
And that is Last Chance U.
Yeah.
Featuring the Indy College Pirates.
The Buccaneers, the Pirates.
Let's take our first break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, start of a new week. As we continue to say, we're getting closer and closer to football season.
Oh, yeah.
We won't have to BS our way through the first 20 minutes of the show.
No, we'll
once we get to football season.
Oh, yeah.
There will always be things to talk about. Steve, tomorrow we can probably talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs, how they started up their training camp really today. Guys
reported yesterday. And if the Royals win tonight, we can talk Royals, too.
That'd be a 4-game winning streak. It'd be hard to believe, but it could happen.
Yeah, well, they got Heath Philmeyer, whoever that is, starting on the mound tonight.
So we mentioned that football season is right around the corner, and as has been tradition the last 3 years, football season gets going a little bit early for fans of Netflix with Last Chance U, because it always comes out right about this time. And the first 2 years of this series, for those of you that are unfamiliar with it, they went to East Mississippi Community College. And what they did is this is kind of like Hard Knocks.
They just live
the show that they did on
NFL Network. They basically just live. The film crew lives with the team, basically.
They go to every practice. They're following them around school. They're hanging out with them in the dorm rooms. They're hanging around the coaches. And this is about as inside of a look into a team as you could possibly have. And there's nothing that they're not going to show.
And there's a lot of bad language.
And at East Mississippi, it got a lot of positive reviews because nothing has really ever been done like this, and especially with college kids. And the whole idea of Last Chance U, as they call it, is that with junior college football, and in particular some of the bigger programs, they're considered a last chance for guys that maybe started off at a Division I school, got in some trouble, and they want one last chance to make the NFL, make it back into Power 5. It's their last chance.
Right.
Whether they've gotten in trouble, whether they got kicked out of school, whether they had to leave for personal issues.
Grade problems.
Yeah. It's a last chance. So they had two seasons at East Mississippi. And then at about this time last year, they announced that they were bringing it to Kansas. And I think a lot of people believe that it was originally going to go to Garden City, who had just won the national championship,
right,
had an undefeated season. But then this cat named Jason Brown rolls into Indy JUCO.
New coach.
And they went, okay, we're going to follow him around. And this is his second year at Indy while they're filming. This will be his third.
This will be his third this year.
In real time.
I don't even remember what they did in his second year. I think they were like...
Well, the second year is the one that
they're
showing.
No, the first year, I mean.
I think that they were maybe about 500, maybe a little above.
Yeah.
But what they're showing here, and this series was all taped last year.
Right.
So they're showing this whole season. And Indy JUCO and Jason Brown, it is an interesting group of dudes.
Yeah.
And Jason Brown is an interesting cat.
Yeah.
And as Steve said, there is a whole lot of four-letter language. A whole lot of language that we cannot repeat here. And I know that's something that struck out to you.
We should also clarify, I'm a graduate of Independence Junior College.
Not only is Steve an Indy JUCO grad, he is from Independence, grew up there.
Right.
So I wanted to talk with you about this, even though you haven't seen all of it yet. I haven't completely finished it. But this show is really taken over with people, and especially here. Do you have friends that you've heard from back in town that are talking about it?
I watched the first episode today, and of course, one of the guys they talked to lived four houses down from me. Then one of the women that they were talking to lived three houses down from me. I mean, I've known them my whole life. So the problem is the football team has kind of polarized the town. You're either totally with it, or because of all the money they've put into the program and this, you know, this last chance you think coming out, there's nobody really in the middle. They either really like it or they really don't like it. Independence is a town similar to McPherson, which is one reason I think I've been in McPherson as long as I have. When I lived there in the 1970s, it was a very bustling community.
Well, they talk about it on the show that in the early 1900s, early to
there were more millionaires living in Independence than any city in Kansas.
Right.
And it is just bottomed out. There were 13,000 people when I lived in Independence. There's probably 8,500 now. I mean, it's really a feast or famine town. It's either people have a lot of money in that town or have no money in the town. And actually, it's more about people don't have money in that town. It just seems like it's really changed. I go down once a year in June for my golf tournament, and I'm there 4 days, and I just... Me and the guy I play golf with in the tournament, we drive around town, and we just shake our heads because it's just not the same as when we lived there. It used to be a bustling, thriving place, really exciting, and now
that's just because you live there.
Well, yeah, but now it is deader than a doornail in that town.
I think the thing that makes this show so great, and the thing that might make some people in Independence or wherever they go with this show next not like the show, is this is as inside of a look at a team that you can possibly have. And let's say you're a Chiefs fan and you follow the team really closely. You read every story that comes out in the KC Star. You go to every game. You follow along. You know all the players, where they went to school. You know a lot about mm-hmm. them. Even if you know everything, you don't know everything. You don't see what happens in the locker room. You don't see what happens on the practice field, the things that are said. And this experience with Last Chance U in a documentary series like this is you see everything. The good, the bad.
A lot of bad.
The really bad. You get to see all of it.
There's a lot
of bad.
And
so sometimes that's hard for people to process. And especially when you see some things that you maybe don't like. When you see the kids going into class and them going, I don't really care about school. In one of the episodes that I watched a minute ago, they were showing their grade reports after two or three weeks. And they're going, this guy's got four D's and an F. This guy's got four F's and a C. And they're going, what are we doing here? And I think that there are some people that might understand that the junior college system academically is a little flawed.
It really is.
But then when you see something like this, it sort of opens up your eyes a little bit more. And that's what makes this series so interesting to people.
And you got guys that didn't graduate from high school and had to get GEDs.
Yeah.
You know, there's quite a few of those guys. There's guys, of, I don't know how many of them, I'm sure some of them have been in jail for briefly in their life, you know, let out. And again, this Jason Brown, holy cow, he is one interesting cat. He really is. He is.
You've got to watch this series in order to get the feel for him.
Yeah. He's done prison time himself.
When I'll be interested, we're going to try to get Coach Pav on later on in this week to preview the Shrine Bowl coming up on Saturday. But Coach Pav, when he was at Fort Hays State, they played together.
Right.
And so he knows him pretty well. And that's the thing that makes this series so interesting is we know a decent amount about the schools. We know people that are at these schools. We know people that know him. And so when you know a little bit more of the background story on these people, it makes it even more interesting. Where when they're at East Mississippi, we don't know anything about the schools they're playing.
Right.
But when they're here, yeah, and they're playing Garden City,
the Ville,
they're playing Fort Scott, they're playing Coffeyville.
Yeah.
They're playing Butler.
Yeah.
You've been there. You know these places.
Right.
The other thing that I think is a very interesting look at football in this documentary and what it provides is that you get to hear what they're saying during the game. Did you get to see an episode where they were in game?
I've only looked at the first episode. I haven't seen anything since the first one.
So when they're in game, I mean, they have mics on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it last week that I went to go watch them play Butler last November.
Right.
And we stood on the sideline, on their sideline, in order to try to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big production.
There
are 12 or 15 cameras. There are people with boom mics that are picking up noise. Everybody is mic'd up. So you're hearing what is actually happening in the games.
Right.
And I think that's another eye-opening thing to people. When you're watching the game on TV, you don't hear what Andy Reid is saying to his assistants. You don't hear what Bill Belichick is saying to his assistants. In this show, you hear what they're saying on the sideline, whether it's the coaches or the players. It's different than you think. And I've always had this idea in my head that if you took the casual football fan, you took the casual basketball fan, and you let them sit courtside or sit on the bench or sit right there next to everybody or even stand on the sideline at a football game,
mm-hmm,
their mind would be blown.
Yeah.
That it is a different world than you imagine it to be. And Steve, you and I have a little bit more of experience with this and being able to be down on the field
and
be around practices.
I used to cover the game from the sidelines. I wasn't in the press box. Back when I was at the newspaper, I'd be on the sideline for a half and then in the press box for a half because I had to shoot photos. But it's always interesting to hear the coaches on the sidelines, that's for sure.
It's a different take. So for those of you that have not gone to see this yet or you have Netflix and you go, well, I'm thinking about it, put it in your Netflix queue. You know what that is, Steve?
No.
It's your list of stuff that you want to watch.
Okay.
I think it's 8 episodes. They're all about an hour apiece. Take a week. Watch one a day and then one extra day.
Yeah.
It is very cool. And it's a series that has been extremely popular.
And the people in Independence, from my people that I have down there, they feel like it puts Independence not in a very good light.
I think that it does a lot of good things for the school. And part of the story is, and part of their allure with this Last Chance U is, you're going to a town that's not quite desirable.
No.
And, I mean, you've grown up there, and people here wouldn't think Independence is a strange place. But when you get some of these guys that went to school at Florida State and lived the luxurious life for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you end up at Independence JUCO.
Yeah.
In a dorm room where you're sharing it with three guys.
Yeah.
And you don't have kitchens.
No.
That's part of this allure.
They didn't even have dorms when I was in school down there. People, they had, kids would rent houses. There'd be like four kids get together and rent a house. That's what they didn't have any dorms for a long time down there.
Well, and that's another thing with this series too, is you can tell that Indy JUCO is not a place where football has been important for a long time, because their facilities compared to McPherson High School are bad.
Yeah.
And so when you compare them to other JUCOs, you compare them to other D2s.
Well, in the very first episode, I don't want to give too much away, but there's like a cow that roams out on the field and they shoot it with a tranquilizer. So
for guys coming from California or Florida or Texas or anywhere, it's different.
Yeah.
And that's part of what this show is doing too. They're not going to go do this series at Alabama.
Yeah. It just makes Independence look like a hick town to me from what I've seen so far.
I like the opening scene where they have a stagecoach.
Yeah.
Walk past real slowly.
We didn't have a
led by horses.
We didn't have a stagecoach when I was there. So.
And part of that is, they're being over dramatic with it and trying to say, it's a country town, when really it's there's no stagecoaches.
No.
Walking around.
No.
Maybe back in Steve's day.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. So we'll get you to finish watching Last Chance U. For those of you out there that haven't watched it yet, I very much recommend it. Let's take our final break. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today when it comes to Last Chance U, the new series that's out in Steve's hometown. We've talked a little bit about the British Open, but the real action today, we found out, was happening at Turkey Creek this morning, and our guy Don Newton, friend of the show,
you
knocked it in. What hole were you on?
I was hole two.
Hole number two.
I'm 3,540 yards out. One shot, one hole.
There we go.
And you didn't really see it go in. You knew it was pretty close. Because where the pin is, you really can't see where the ball ends up.
Right.
What'd you hit, Don?
I used a four hybrid.
Four hybrid.
Four hybrid.
Did you draw it or did you hit it straight?
No, just line draw straight.
Line draw.
Straight shot.
Okay.
Easy, smooth.
Okay. Well, you are smooth.
Yeah, easy and smooth. That's how we describe Don.
That's how you got to hit the golf ball.
And you know, Don's from my neck of the woods.
He's from the Ville.
He's from the Ville. We talked about the Ville a little bit.
Montgomery County. They don't mess around.
Nobody messes around.
That's right. But we were talking about Last Chance U and Independence, you know that.
And Crimson Coffeeville.
Yeah, that's a big rivalry. One thing, Coffeeville's got a big edge on Independence. They got a heck of a nice football stadium.
Yes, that is. You built that football stadium.
I helped build that stadium. Yes, I did.
Memorial Stadium seats about 5,000. It's a state-of-the-art stadium, and that's about the best thing Coffeeville has going other than Dawn.
Oh, shots have been fired.
Other than Dawn.
Yes, have you guys had a fight about Coffeeville versus Independence yet?
No. Because we're used to. Dawn and I grew up, he's just a few years older than me, but Coffeeville was about 16,000 back in Don's day. Mm-hmm. Independence is about 13,000, and both towns have just dried up to nothing.
So everybody's
really kind of sad.
Yeah, it's bad.
But Don, hole in one day, congratulations!
It's
fantastic.
Thank you. It took me 6 years to get it.
Yeah, you're a late bloomer in golf, but
only playing for 6 years. I've been.
Yeah, but you've already played about 20 years worth of rounds. Don plays about 36 a day. I mean, they call him All Day Don. And now he's retired. You know, he's retired. He's got him a nice golf cart, has a Marshall flag on it.
Marshall.
We call him the Marshall.
Yeah. Yes.
You bet.
Don, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Friend of the station. He's always popping his head in here.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he had to get his 2 cents in about this hole in one.
Oh, yeah.
We had to let him brag about it.
I'd already gotten a text. I got to post it online. So I'm going to post it here pretty quick.
We'll be ready to go. Don, are you going to play in the Turkey Creek Open this weekend?
I'm playing everything this week.
There you go.
You're always playing.
Men's League, Seniors League, and Open.
There you go.
What about member guest?
Nope, not that.
That's not for a few weeks yet.
That's why I got to get a member to play with.
You're a member.
I got to get a player.
Yeah, you got to get a guest.
Somebody from the Ville come up and play.
Well, that would be nice. A lot of good players down in Coffeeville.
There are a lot of good players. I played with some good guys from Coffeeville. A lot of good friends down there.
Yes,
I lived with three guys from Coffeeville when I was in school.
It's a tough break, I guess.
Yeah.
My grandpa, he was born in Coffeyville.
But there you go.
You know, all the Coffeyville and Independence play together. It's the best sport, best game you ever want to see. Fighting, whatever you name it. But when it comes down to it, they still friend at the end of the game.
At the end of the game,
they still, yeah.
Even though they used to throw bricks through our bus and we'd go down there.
No blood in the parking lot. No blood. Just all on the hardwood.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right, Steve. We'll wrap up today's show. Later on, or tomorrow, we want to talk about the Chiefs. Wednesday, we're going to have a short show because the Royals take the air at 12:30. And then on Thursday, we hope to have Coach Pavin here to preview the Shrine Bowl and
Wyatt
our weekend Seidel. Down there.
Wyatt Seidel, Kyle Anderson from Smoky, Reese Neibel from Heston, and then Tim Lambert from Smoky as an assistant coach.
As well as Tyson Bowerly.
Tyson Bowerly from Heston.
We'll be
right.
talking with them a lot yep. here pretty soon.
Yep.
All right, Steve, wrapping up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess it's-